Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing another industry expert with you. And today, we are going to be talking about social selling, specifically the psychology of social selling and how to present yourself as a resource and not a commercial. And I know we see it all the time. We hear it all the time. We've been to meetings when we were meeting in person. And I don't know about you, but how many times have you gone and had coffee and walked out and thought to yourself, wow, there's 90 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back? So we're going to talk about that and how to not have that happen to you, not virtually, not in person, and what you should do instead. So this is going to be a great conversation. So make sure you get your pen and paper out because you are going to want to take notes. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So Alice O'Mahony is the president of ALO Marketing Services and has led multi-million dollar product launches for high profile organizations, including Lucent Technologies and Simmons. Alice utilizes a proprietary process with her clients to establish a brand profile. This detailed brand profile is incorporated into an effective, measurable social media strategy. And that is so exciting because what you don't measure, you can't track. What you can't track, you don't improve, and that helps you to get a better ROI. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Alice.
Thank you, Patty. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited too, because we've been waiting a while to make this happen. I think we've been talking about it for months. So I'm really excited to have you here. I'm really looking forward to kind of deep diving into this conversation and this topic, because I think it's really timely right now. So before we do though, we don't wake up every day and talk about, oh, this is what I think I want to do. And while I know this year has been the year of the pivot, I know that we really kind of have a journey till we get to where we are and where we are serving and supporting the people that we want to. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, how did you like get to the point where, you know what, this is really what I know I was meant to do?
Well, you know, I was always brought in to a marketing strategy pretty late, to be quite frank with you. It was more like, just come up with copy and I'm sure it will work and it will be great. And we'll just get them moving down that buying process field. No problem. Just come up with copy. And so I would come up with copy and promotions and things like that. And it worked. We, you know, we definitely got more sales, but I knew that there was more to it than this. Okay. I knew that I was being brought in front of the bus when I should have been brought behind the bus, meaning I should have been brought on early on and really dug into the audience that you need to speak to and, you know, really dig deep, not just their gender, their age, their social media. It's, and I mean, their pain points, that's normally pretty obvious, but really what is the emotion that they're feeling when they first come to you? Okay, because they don't just wake up and Google. They've been feeling that emotion for quite a while, that pain point for quite a while. So that's where my journey has led me. It's actually led me backwards, Patty, to get more involved with the customer journey from the beginning, as opposed to just putting away, just putting together some content to get things rolling.
I agree with that. I think sometimes you have to step back to move forward. I think that really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I got to tell you, you're talking about my favorite topic right here, because, you know, this is why I love having you. I love having other people who are you know, in the marketing space in a different way than me, because this is where you get a lot of perspective. But one of the things that I think is really interesting about what you said is people think all the time, oh, I need to know my demographics and I need to know my psychographics. Yeah, that's really great. But you really need to know behavior. Behaviors is what's really, really important. And I think the difference in knowing that is what I like to tell my clients. Yes, we start with your target market. That's what everybody wants to talk about. But for me, it's really about who are your target buyers, not your target market. Your target market are people who have a problem that you have a solution to, but your target buyers not only have that problem that you have a solution to, but they're actually actively looking for a solution, which is, you know, so much better. So when you can really dive into those behaviors, I think that is really important. And one of the things that I notice, it's kind of a pet peeve to be totally honest, in social media is people just want to talk about what they do over and over and over again. And they think they're doing it in so many different ways. But the reality is they never ask themselves the question, what are the behaviors? Like I know just recently, I had someone that I'm working with and they were telling me, oh, this, you know, somebody who is, these are my psychographics, Patty. I want, she's married, she's this, she's that. And so she's telling me all this stuff. And I said, okay. Well, what are her behaviors? Like, how does she spend money? That's what we want to know, right? How does she spend money? Does she, you know, is she someone who, you know, goes to, you know, Supercuts and gets her hair? Or is it she somebody who is having highlights in her hair? Do her kids go to, you know, basketball academy and gymnastics and cheerleading squad? Is she spending money? What is important when she's sitting there? What are the magazines that she's reading? You know, what podcasts are she listening to? And I don't think people really understand how important that is in those behaviors, which totally leads to what you're going to be talking about, which is the psychology of social selling. So with that said, what are some of the pros that can really help you? And how does that relate to a better ROI if you can find out these other things other than, oh, they're married and have two kids and live in the country in Minnesota?
Well, you know how to start your relationship with them, okay? Every relationship is built on emotion, okay? And once you address somebody's emotion and your first connection with that person is speaking to their emotion, that's the best foundation that you can start it on, okay? So, you know, just engaging with them on an emotional level. Don't, not going in and bragging about yourself. I really still don't understand why people do that, but to me, that's old school. So again, go in on their emotions. See what is their fears? What is their hesitation? And then an answer to that immediately and qualify that understanding, qualify that emotion. And you know, you will build a first solid connection with them that is on the road to growth.
I agree with you. I think one of the things that people really do think is they think that if they're talking about all these accomplishments that they have done, and while people do want to know the things you've done, and that does give you some credibility, but the reality really is that people do make decisions emotionally. They justify writing the check with data, though. And so I feel like what is really important is for you to really understand that about someone and understand that they're not hiring you because of what you've done. They're hiring you because they want to know what are the results you can get for me if I hire you. And I think it's a distinction that people really do need to realize when they're talking to people. And I think it is really important. And one of the things I really want to address before we really kind of deep dive into some really important questions I want to ask you really is voice. You know, I think that for a long time, everything was Google-based, right? You know, everything was always like, oh, I need to talk in the voice of how do people type into Google. But I think that relationships are the currency in today's business environment more than ever before. And people are doing more voice searches when they're looking for things now than they ever have before. So are you speaking in that voice? And also every single social media platform, you can post exactly the same thing, graphic, so to speak, But the voice in the messaging has to be different because every one of those social media platforms are different. So what do you think about that? And can you tell us a little bit from the social selling point of view, what they need to take into consideration for that?
Well, what you need to take into consideration, when I look at social selling, it's basically you take one relationship at a time, okay? Because not everybody's emotions are on the same platform and they're at the same level. So you take it one at a time and you use a voice, you know, that's different for each person and each person's need, okay? And I think when you outline somebody on how you're going to help them, like the steps that you're going to take, it makes them feel better. It makes them see that every step of the way is covered. And so the voice is important because that is the first thing that people are going to hear and they're going to listen.
I think that it is really important too. There's a reason why it's called social selling, right? Yeah. You know, it's called social selling. You know, let's put that social back in sales, right? So I think that is really important. I actually speak on that, 5 steps to put social back in sales, because I think it's important. But I really love this psychology of social selling. And that's why I really wanted you to go on, because I really love this whole thing about presenting yourself as a resource and not a commercial. So the first thing I really want to ask you is, you were talking to me a little bit earlier about how we really need to upgrade our mental game, right? To build that customer base. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, how do we build that? Like, how do we like scale up for that, our mental game, to build that dedicated customer base?
Well, the first step is that you have to get into relationship mode. Okay. You have to show up and engage with somebody, ask them questions. The first thing I always do before I start a relationship with somebody is I do look at their various profiles and I see how we can connect on different levels, not just such a business level. So I'm starting that level of trust. Okay. Because the truth of the matter is, all long-term relationships start with positive conversations. Okay. If you put more positive thoughts in somebody's head, they're going to stick with you. Okay. And it's patience and it's research and it takes time. You're not going to close the deal the first, second, or third, or even fourth conversation you have with that person. Okay. And you have to approach each conversation individually and be ready to engage, be ready to ask questions that you probably already know the answer to. But they're answers that are going to make that person feel good. And they're going to look at you as a positive resource that you, not only do you have the expertise, but you are addressing their core emotional needs.
I like to think of it like dating. You don't get married on the first date. You got to court them, right? You know, ask them questions. And I personally believe the better the questions, the better the answers. And that will really drive you to where you need to go next. So I think that is really important. And speaking about profiles, I think it is really important. Let's talk about profiles, right? Let's really talk about how we need to maybe possibly revamp them. So tell us about what, I know you talk about this all the time. Right. This is something. So tell us a little bit about how you can revamp your personal profile and pretty much go from hire me to being a solution provider.
Right. So I think a lot of people still with their LinkedIn profile, like list out their background, like it's almost like a resume format. Okay. And what I truly believe from a social selling point of view, your profile should just concentrate on your 3 area of expertise. Okay. Not your titles of your past jobs, but the 3 area of expertise that you are a true solution provider. Okay. And that should basically come out in your headline. Who do you serve? How do you serve them? And what's the solution you're going to give? That should all be in that headline. And I think you've kind of heard that over and over. But even like your photograph, when somebody looks at you, they should know what solution that you're going to lead them to. Like, for instance, like Patty, you're a speaker. So when I look at your profile, I should see that picture and see exactly what you're going to do. Okay. I drill down to, you know, a customer target audience. I peel down the layers to get to the core decision-making factors. So my profile picture represents peeling down layers of somebody. So you want that, you want when somebody looks at your profile, the first thing they see. But more importantly, you know, you want somebody to be able to find you based on the solutions that they're looking for. So yes, of course, always the key areas, but you know, really hone in on your expertise, like, and, you know, how you can address the solutions that you're going to provide and how you're going to do it. Because if somebody sees steps that you're going to take, they have a better trust factor in you.
I love that. And I think that is really true. I know that I play around with my LinkedIn profile and my headline often, and you get a lot of different ways that people say that they do things. And I do think it is really important. I also think that depending upon what you do, like I'm a speaker and there's different things I do, and I want to make sure that I'm searchable and that my headline is searchable. But I also want people to know who I am too. And I know that recently when I changed my LinkedIn profile, I decided to test adding something a little personal in there as well. So even though it does say that I'm a marketing, media, and money expert, right? And then I'm a speaker and have a podcast and publish a magazine. Okay, yes, I did want it to say that. But then I also said in there that I am a shoe lover, beach walker, puppy spoiler, and coffee connoisseur.
Right. Well, and that's where people are get to connect with you on an emotional level. Absolutely.
You know? Right. And people do, oh, Patty, you had me at shoes, or, oh, Patty, I love coffee too. So it really gives us something to start the conversation with rather than, oh, I'd like to jump on a call with you and see if we can, you know, you know what I mean? So it really does. And it's working really well for me. So I really like it. And I like it when I see it in other people too. When I read theirs, I'm like, oh, I can relate to that. Right. That is something that is really interesting for me. So I think there is some psychology there too. But if it's a personal profile, it's important, like you said, for them to know. But again, it is still a personal profile.
That's right. And it's interesting because one of the things that I've been thinking about adding to my profile is my expat experience that, you know, that I did live in Switzerland for so many years. And usually when I'm first meeting with somebody, I tell them that and they just think it's such a great thing. And then we talk about how traveling has really opened people's minds. And then we go into the whole open mind part. And it is interesting how that one personal aspect can lead to bigger and more connected conversations.
Because I love that.
The truth of the matter is once a professional visits your profile, if they don't see that you're going to provide them with what they need, they're not going to come back. You know, they're not going to come back. So it really is a fine-tuning conversation between a personal and honing in on your expertise. And you have to mesh the two, but not go too far into your personal. But that is where the connection starts. Absolutely.
So let's talk about triggers. I know that that is something that you talk about and that you work on with people. So let's talk about what some of those triggers are.
Well, the first thing is our brains really have been programmed now to block out spamminess. Once we feel somebody is coming in with the hard, cold sell or the salesy, our brains just shut down. They just shut down. You know, it's all about, you know, I consider it starting from right brain to left brain, right? You definitely, your right brain is where the creativity is stored and, you know, where all your dreams and what, how you want to better your life or, you know, come up with, you know, solutions. So that is where the trigger starts. You know, it's that they say the neurotransmitter dopamine, you know, it's a release in our brain when we want to try new things and we're looking for a new sense of pleasure. So right.
And I think that the certain triggers can help our brain to make better decisions, right? So if you know what those triggers are, right, and you work on those triggers, are they the right triggers or are you having triggers that aren't serving you, right?
Right. So, I mean, like, there's always good, what I call decision triggers to help somebody get more comfortable with making a decision is always a great thing is, you know, giving them the option to try something or to offer something free without having them give you a credit card number, because then they feel like there's no obligation, right? So what wrong do I have with making this decision to give it a try, you know? And that has always done well with me is that I build their trust and, you know, allowing them to try things for free and not taking their personal information.
I think it's kind of like everybody likes the taste me before you hire me thing. But you know what? It is psychological, because one of the things that I saw people do over and over again, I was like, what? And because I'm in marketing, I caught it right away. And I thought, oh, I'm going to test this. And it really works. This whole thing, people love that. So for example, people who are my subscribers to my Marketing Media Money magazine, they're already subscribed, right? I already have their email. They're already subscribed. But every time I send them something, in about every other month, I'll send them something and I'll say, oh, you know, because, you know, you're part of my community, I would love to bonus you this or give you this. And I always use this phrase, you know, click here to get it. No opt-in required. And they love it. But the reality is I already have their email address. I'm sending it to them via email. I don't need you to opt in. I have you on my list already, right? But I have to tell you, there's something about the trigger psychologically that when someone says, oh, you don't need to opt in, no opt-in necessary, just, you know, click here and you can get it, that they love that. I can't even tell you how many times people have written back to me and said, oh, Patty, that is so refreshing to not have to opt in. And in my mind, I'm like, well, why would I need you to opt in? I just emailed that to you. So obviously I have your email, right?
Right. And it all, and it does, it goes, you're doing exactly staying away from the hard sell. You're giving them a choice. And you know, it's always the positive psychological effects of constantly showing up, constantly being their source of information, but again, not pushing them. And you build your credibility with them faster. They're actually looking forward to your next piece of content.
I love that too, because I know that one of the things that I have done that has been very powerful is, to me, it isn't even just about what are you doing to get people on your list. That's not hard. Just give them something for free, right?
Right.
The harder thing is, how do you get them to stay, right? What is your stick strategy to get them? Because we know that when people open up every piece of email, one of their fingers is on the delete button, right? Or they're ready to unsubscribe. So what are you doing to get them to stay? So one of the things that I have done, and I would love to, you know, hear your psychology on that. But one of the things that I have done is, as soon as they opt in and they get that first piece of content from me, it drives me crazy. And I have a personal pet peeve when, as soon as somebody gets that, they start selling me stuff. Right. You know, and I really adhere to that. Well, if you like this, you'd like that. And, you know, giving them, you know, I kind of go by give them 3 to 5 things that are value based before you ever talk to them about anything that they could purchase. But one of the things that I do is, right up front, I tell them, here's what you can expect from me as being part of my community. And I tell them, you know, you're going to get access to things nobody else can. You're going to get discounts that nobody else does. You're going to be able to beta test things before I even launch them. You know, I give them all these lists of reasons why they do want to stay on my list. And then I back that up and then they're like, oh, okay. And so I have a very, very low unsubscribe ratio. And so I think it's important. And all these things go back to psychology, right? And that they know that you care. So what are a few tips or techniques that you have found to be really successful when you are social selling?
So what I like to do is, I change the conversation from an I to a we, because people love to feel part of a community. They love to feel like they're belong and they're accepted in, and that you're treating them with, you know, you're giving them very special information, and that you're treating them like they're the only one, but at the same time, they're part of our community. And it keeps them motivated and it keeps them coming back.
I think that's important. But I also think it's important to really, like, what is the content? Like, yeah. I know I keep going back to email. So we are talking about social selling, and social can be in a lot of different ways. But one of the things that I think is really important when people get content from you is that they know what they're going to get. They know when they're going to get it. I mean, I have certain people who email me, and every single thing that they do, I open it. And a lot of that is because they only give me one thing. Remember in the old days when we used to send people newsletters and it had like went on and on and on, right? That's how blogs were too. You know, everything was like a 2,000 word blog. I think we digest our information differently now. And I think it is important So I really think you need to match that content, right?
A lot of times when I'm first starting my relationship with somebody, I just give them very simple, like a checklist, you know, to get their thinking going. And this is all content that I have pretty much prepared so I can provide it on a timely and personal basis. So usually my initial content is things like a checklist, an ebook, you know, blogs, just something simple that they can start to read and start to get, you know, a little bit of information at a time. And they start
value.
It's value, but even more important is that they feel like they're getting more of an education. They're getting more confident in what on their road to making their decision. So the more you give them the power of education, then they feel like they're more and more in control. They're not relying on you because they're getting smarter along the way.
I think that's important. People want to know that you're hearing them, that you know you're listening and you hear them. And when you match that content to how they want to receive it and it's consistent and relevant, I think that that is really important. I know that I vet my social media and I vet my email list, you know, 2 to 3 times a year to make sure that I honor them by giving them the content that they want to have. That I believe is something, one of the reasons why people do unsubscribe or unfollow or just unconnect from you is because they don't really feel like, well, you don't really get me because you're not giving me the content that I really thought I was going to get. And then I think it's also important to realize that, you know, there's stages of a customer journey and are you giving them the right content? So can you talk a little bit about that?
So I just talked to you about like the awareness. And so the other kind of content that you always want to have available for you is like, I mean, like case studies, right? And what I call like some of the key numbers that I always think works well is, you know, a lot of business owners like yourself that have only been in business 5 years or 7 years, this is usually what they find has helped them. So now you just put them in a whole different community and you're still speaking to them on an individual basis. Okay. So I use a lot of case studies. People do like case studies. You know, they see that they can relate to the problem that the person first had and, you know, what the solution was provided and then what results bought them. So they see even the future. So that really helps people's confidence level to get to that decision-making stage. And a lot of comparisons, you know, if you give to them different solutions that they can use and which solution is going to best meet their needs, you know, it could be a very simple solution or you can kind of predict what they're, if they use this solution, how they're in the future would be a lot more easier and smoother for them. It would give them a complete timeless solution as opposed
I
to
believe that.
Just near and dear to their heart now.
Yes. Give them what they want and sell them what they need.
Yes.
I think that is really important because that is how they know that you were listening. And if somebody is just in the awareness mode, not evaluation mode, so they're not to the point yet where they're making a purchase decision, they're just gathering information, you hammering them with all this information isn't what they need. What they need is to get enough information to become aware of so they ask the right questions when they're in the evaluation mode so they know, oh, well, let me ask you these questions. And you answer those questions based on what they need from you. And a lot of times, you know, this is where people who do scripting a lot fall down sometimes. And not that there's anything wrong with having a script, if the script is just a general thing you go off of, but not word for word, you know, like I've seen people be like, oh no, wait, you can't answer that question yet because that's, you know, 3 questions from now, right? You know, to make sure you stay on point, you know, or cover a few things. But I think that part of that is that people still in, it's so old school to try to sell with fear. It's old school to try to sell, you know, to really, when you are talking to somebody, to try to sell with benefits. They don't really care about benefits until we talk results. They're going to buy because these are the results they want to get, and you're telling them you can get them. If you're a business coach or a life coach or anything that is a time for hour thing, they don't care that we're going to meet on Tuesday at 2 o'clock or our meetings are all going to be an hour. They haven't even made the decision yet. You know, so keep the conversation going with the things that they really need to know so that they can make a decision. And what can you help them with that? Alice, do you find that where you're working with your clients, are there certain industries that really, when you're in social selling and really in this psychology, I mean, obviously it could work with everybody, you know, so that's always so important. But are you finding that you're really making a huge impact in certain areas? Like, are there more brick and mortar? Is it more service-based entrepreneurs? Like, really, where are you seeing the biggest impact in this?
The biggest impact usually relies with the product or service being a long-term decision. In other words, not something that somebody can make a decision on even within a month, okay? So where I see a particular success in is with like home improvement contractors, right? Because these are big ticket items that you are not going to just jump into. You're going to do your research. And more importantly, you need to see if there's a fit, okay? Because that person that's going to be in your house and you're going to be communicating with them on a daily basis. Another thing I see that it works really well with is law, but in particular, family attorney law. Okay, because again, you are coming to somebody during the most depressing time of your life. And so your emotions are just all over the place. And you have to build their trust over time. You know, you have to start that connection early on, even going back to the home improvement. The other industry that I have seen significant success, and not 100% just yet, because I'm still working on it, but I've started to go into the travel industry. And working with independent agencies, not the franchise, but the independent agencies, where they need to regain the trust of their clients to first start convincing them it's okay. It's going to be okay to travel. And these are the things you need to be aware with when you're starting to prepare to travel. You know, anything from the COVID test to new packing standards to, you know, procedures that are going to make that wait even longer in that security.
And travel insurance. Travel insurance now, there are so many more options with everything that is going on in the world right now and becoming aware of that. So I love that. Do you work a lot with coaches and people who are trusted advisors? Is that something that you work with? Or
yeah, I work a lot with people who do courses and business coaches, not financial advisors. I don't do much work with any of them. But, you know, people who really need to build people's trust and need to show people that I have the knowledge and I have the solution that's going to help you get where you need to be. So a lot of times I work with people actually who do sell like a social media course, or a lot of the other courses that are really taking off with social selling is mindset courses, you know, like coaches that help you with your mindset to either prepare for a big exam, like a big law exam. Or if you're really struggling to take your business or scale your business, 9 times out of 10, it's the mindset that's holding you back. And these are all, you know, just long-term, you have to put a lot of thought into them and you have to educate and build trust along the way. So, you know, Patty, the other thing I want to say is, you know, regarding the whole psychology of social selling, it's not something you learn instantly. It's not something you learn within months. What I have felt that has always helped me is I take notes of my clients' conversations, because 9 times out of 10, there's nuggets that you get out of every conversation that you can pretty much apply to your target buyers. And then it helps you that you can start that conversation more productive, quicker, and you can give them the content they need faster and help them with their decision along the way and build that trust, you know? And, you know, the biggest, trickiest part is when you've done all your homework and now you have them at the decision-making cycle, and then you think you're there, you're home. This is it. All the work I've done and all the conversations I've had, it's all going to pay off now. Well, actually not, because this is actually the part of the process that you can make a mistake really fast, and it could be a simple mistake and you can lose them in a heartbeat. And this is where you really have to get the person. I personally believe has to see you. This is where the webinars come in, the free webinars. This is where you pick up the telephone. And at this point, you should know enough about the person that the conversation is completely personal. Like, you should bring up points that, you know, when we first spoke, you said that this was your concern. And I always had a feeling that you felt this way and that you were hesitating. But I think at this point, you're ready to move forward because of, and you kind of revisit everything that you've presented to them. Again, you bring them back to the journey on why they're ready to make that decision. But that does, at that point, it is, I truly believe, a voice and a face. You know, when I was growing up, my parents used to say to me, Alice, whenever you meet somebody, it's a handshake and eye contact. And this is the part that the handshake and the eye contact comes in.
That is so true. I think that is so true. Alice, you've been so generous with your brilliance. I appreciate you so much. And you're not just generous with that, but you actually brought a gift too. So tell us a little bit about the gift that you brought for the audience.
So I prepared a document on two things. Number one is the top questions that you should be asking yourself before you hit that post button or before you hand over that content to your target buyer. And then the other document that I'm providing, which I think is key, is I give you a list of types of content that you can be providing at each step of the decision making, everything from the awareness to the consideration to when they're ready to make a decision. So you can prepare that content in advance. And so you can give it to them immediately because you never want to keep somebody on hold.
Oh, I love that. So how can they connect with you? Now, we're going to have all the links below. So the link to the gift that you're just going to be able to click on it below. We're going to have that as well as how to connect with you. So how can they connect with you? And I'm sure they're going to want to.
So just please visit my website. It's called alomarketingservices.com. I have all my contact information there.
I love that. Now, this is the point in the show where I like to call it the open mic portion, where we turn the mic over to our guest and ask them to share their number one marketing media money strategy. You know, this is the Marketing Media Money Show. And on this show, we promise our audience that we are going to have our guests share proven secrets. What is working now, not 5 years ago? So with that said, Alice, could you please share with us what is your number one strategy for them, you know, on what they need to be doing now?
My number one strategy, and it's something that I just recently put into my practice, is I check in on my clients quarterly. It used to be an annual process, but now it's quarterly, and I stay on top of their challenging goals. What I have quickly learned is that challenges and goals are quickly changing, and you need to stay on top of that and be the solution provider every step of the way. And a lot of that is, you know, addressing goals and challenges that can change in a heartbeat.
I love that. Thank you so much, Alice, for being here with me today. I really appreciate it so much. And you've just given so much information, and I appreciate you sharing that gift too. So thank you.
Thank you, Patty. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you again for having me.
No worries. And thank you to our sponsor, Exacta Corporation, the developer of the Family Organizer Plus platform. Make sure you check them out on exactacorp.com. And to the audience, thank you for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Make sure you grab the free Marketing Media and Money assessment, where you'll know in 3 minutes or less where you're excelling, where you need a little bit of work, and what your next step should be. And you can grab that for free by going to m3bizquiz.com. So thank you, everybody. Make it a phenomenal day. Remember, if your day isn't phenomenal, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.